Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Last service, which was Wednesday night, I spoke on, do you hear what I hear? Today, I want to speak to you on, do you see what I see? You may be seated. When the Bible declares that we walk by faith, not by sight, it's talking about physical sight. And it's not in any way denouncing spiritual sight. In fact, the Bible persuades us to have great spiritual sight. The Bible said in Hebrews 11, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That word substance means essence, or abstractly, assurance, objectively, or subjectively, confidence, confident. It is a substance. It is a foundation. Now, faith is a foundation. And so the real question we face is, can you see the substance without the evidence? It said the evidence not seen. The things that I have believed God for and received from God, when I first started believing God for those things, there was no evidence, nothing apparent that it was going to happen. It was as Pastor Brandon spoke so skillfully today about the vision, about the dream that God gave me. At that point in time, absolutely no evidence. And a lot of times, it's not only a lack of evidence, there is an abundance of opposition to your dream. And you've got to be able to see what other people can't see. Faith is the ability to believe when you don't see. When you can't see him, you can't see the dream, but you can have faith. But great faith, Jesus dealt with little faith, no faith, faith, great faith. So faith is the ability to believe when you don't see. But great faith is the ability to see him when no one else even knows he's there. You can see God and know that God is there. The Bible relates the great story about the man that was named as Bartimaeus, but not only was he named Bartimaeus, he was called blind Bartimaeus. It's terrible when you are assigned a malady by men, and you're known for what your weakness or your lack is. Bartimaeus was such a man, but the Bible said that he heard. The first thing you always have to do is hear. Faith cometh by hearing. He heard about Jesus. He heard the reputation of Jesus, had some knowledge of the Word of God from the Old Testament, and he recognized within his spirit that this was not just a man, but this was the Son of David. By that he meant that he believed that he could very possibly be the Messiah. And so he was taken to the place near Jericho where he knew Jesus would be. And as Jesus began to approach, he began to cry out, Son of David, have mercy on me. And his request was that he receive physical sight. And as he cried out, those that around him began to try to shush him and say, please don't make a scene. But the Bible said his response to their censorship was that he cried out even the more so. Friend, I want to tell you there is an ability to see that other people do not have. And when you make it known that you want to see what other people do not see, there's going to be an outcry against you, that you be censured and put in your place, that you don't cry out for God to give you spiritual vision. But if you are intent on being what somebody else is not and having what the normal person does not have, you will not in any way be quieted. But their censorship will simply cause you to cry out even the more and say, I don't care what they say. I don't care what they do. I'm going to call on the Lord because I believe the Lord is able to do great things in my life. And so if we are to see what God wants us to see, I can promise you it will change our life. And my question today is, do you see what I see? Number one, do you see him who is invisible? The story is told in the Bible about Moses. It's a story of tremendous insight that Moses had because of the teaching of his mother Jochebed, and she instilled in him the truth of the kingdom of God. And so when he was tempted by all the wealth in the world, he was not tempted just by a good job or a pay raise, but he literally could be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, which would make him the heir of the richest guy in the world. But in order to do that, he had to lose his Hebrew citizenship. And the Bible said that he endured, and he was not fearful for one reason. And that was he could see him who is invisible. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that God is alive. I want to tell you that God is well. I want to tell you that God does not have any kind of limited mentality, that age is not taking its toll on God, that God is not suffering from Alzheimer's, that God has not lost his way, that he is the God that was, is, and always will be, that he is at the peak of his performing ability, and that God is not only alive, but that God is present on this earth. Those that find themselves learned and educated and philosophically astute somehow have edited God out of their life. But I want to tell you as a simple man that I know that God is alive because I can see not only the fingerprints of God, I can see the hand of God. I can hear not only the voice of God, I can see the face of God. And the Bible said that he endured simply because he could see him who is invisible, not fearing the wrath of the king. Ladies and gentlemen, you might say, well, I'm so fearful. And fear can come in a variety of disguises, from a variety of motivations. You can be afraid about so many things. I'm afraid I'm going to lose my job. I'm afraid my health is not going to endure. I'm afraid this is going to happen. I'm afraid my family is going to disintegrate. Fear comes in so many ways, and we do our very best to conquer fear because fear is not an agent of restoration. Fear is a real enemy of the things of God. And so you want to overcome fear. The best way to overcome fear is ask God to open your eyes that you can see what other men do not see. And that is the presence of God all around you. And you know that Jesus Christ was not a liar, but in the embodiment of truth when he said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. That God that I'm talking about is in this building. Everybody can't see him, but some can see him. They know that there is a substance of God. They don't have to have an evidence to be able to see God. They just see him. They know that he's there all the time. And so Moses was able to see God when nobody else could. Seeing him who is invisible. Let me tell you this. The invisible is always larger and stronger than the visible. If you are simply guided by what is visible, you will never be an overcomer. You have to be able to see him who is invisible because the invisible is the larger. The invisible is the stronger. The invisible is the longer lasting. The invisible is the eternal because he is the God that always was and always will be. The invisible God was greater than Pharaoh. The invisible God was greater than Pharaoh's wealth. You see, all through the Old Testament, particularly through the wilderness, that invisible God was always there. But it was just a small sect of a group of people that could see him who was invisible. Most simply walked blindly by faith, but some had that great ability to see him who was invisible. When that rock that followed them through the wilderness, to some it was just a tumbling rock. But to others, that rock had a personality, and that rock had a face, and that rock had animation, and they knew it wasn't just a rock. It was Almighty God disguised as a rock. They could see that which was invisible. Ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you that my God is highly visible to those that have spiritual vision. He comes in various theophanies, but my God is visible. I see him every day at work in my life. The rock that followed them was stronger than their thirst, because when they spoke to that rock, out of that rock came a flowing river that was able to sustain them in that thirsty land. The cloud that was overhead was just a cloud and a weather condition to some, but to those that had the ability to see him who was invisible, that cloud had a face and fingerprints and DNA, and they knew it wasn't just a cloud, but it was the protection of Almighty God. The cloud was greater than the heat. To some people, it was just a figure in the fiery furnace for the three Hebrew children. But to those that know God and those that can see the invisible, that fourth man in the fiery furnace looked like the Son of Man. He was God incarnate. He was the Christ that was to come. Ladies and gentlemen, I ask you to ask God to open your eyes to where you will be able to see him who is invisible. You'll never be alone. Your fear will be dispelled. You will have energy you've never had, joy you've never known, power you've never observed. You'll have the overcoming ability to face unbelievable odds and know it's all right, because God is not just near, God is here, and he's on my side, and I see him. Can you give God some praise in this house today? Number two, those that have spiritual sight, those that see what I see, they see the army of God that is on my side. The story is about Elisha and the Syrians. They were greatly outnumbered, thousands to one. They were surrounded by the enemy and that little servant. This is the difference between a servant and a prophet. The little servant was in great fear. And the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth. Behold, a host can pass the city, both with horses and chariots. And he said, oh, what shall we do? What shall we do? We are outnumbered. We are overcome. Do you ever feel that? Like you're outnumbered? Like you're just overwhelmed, that you're not going to be able to stand, you're not going to be able to overcome. That's the way that servant felt. And finally, Elisha said to his God, he said, God, reveal to him what you've revealed to me. Lord, take the scales from his eyes and let him see what I see. And God answered his request. And that little servant suddenly had eyes to see what Elisha saw. And he saw that they were not outnumbered, but in fact, they were in the majority. You might feel like you are outnumbered, but ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you're not. Greater is he that's in the world than he that is in it. Greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. Greater is that army that is around you than that number that is against you. You might not be able to see it today, but surrounding this building is an army of God, an army of angels. And when that servant's eyes were opened, he saw a host of angels, and he saw the horses and the chariots of God. Friend, I want to tell you, I believe that the Lord is on my side. And so when the devil huffs and puffs, it does not matter. When the devil does his best to try to show me his numerical superiority, it does not scare me, because I have been delivered from fear, because I can see him who is invisible. I can tell you today, ladies and gentlemen, angels march up and down this aisles, up and down between these pews, and they would do your bidding. The Bible literally says that the angels are supposed to be errand runners for the heirs of salvation. Did you know you're the heir of salvation? Did you know you're the heir of the Father? Did you know you're a joint heir with Jesus Christ? So do you realize that angels are on assignment? Do you understand that angels are working for you? Do you realize realize when you get spiritual vision that you can pray and God will send an angel ahead of you to open the door, to protect you from a car wreck, to melt somebody's heart that has to make a decision in your favor. You can literally send the angels before you get there, and by the time you get there, praise God, all you got to do is smile and be polite, because the Lord that is invisible to the masses, that is visible to you, has sent his angels, and before you ever get there, the battle is won. And that's the reason why the Bible said that we're to hold our peace, we're not to assail our enemy, we're to give praise to Almighty God, because there is an army of angels at our bestead that are saying, tell us what to do, and we will do it, because the Lord has sent us. And he said, whatever you do, whatever you need, just say it, and we will do it in the name of Jesus. Can you give God some praise? Number three, if you can see him who is invisible, if you can see what I see, you see that the provision of God is in the hand of man. This is a big one. Somebody said to me the other day, a pastor that I have a lot of confidence in, a man of tremendous success and a lot of faith. He said, Steve, you know, the Bible said that Jehovah Jireh is the God of our provision. But he said, you know what I've never had? I've never had a check signed by Jehovah Jireh. He said, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but I just never got a check signed by Jehovah Jireh. I know the Lord makes the way, but God works mysteriously and wonderfully and miraculously through the hands of men. And so when Elijah was in that time of tremendous drought, and he was calling Ahab to task, and finally gave forth a prophecy, and he said, it's going to rain like it ain't never rained before. It's going to strangle the toads. It's going to be what we used to call a gully washer. It's coming a flood, but nothing had happened yet. But he could see what other people could not see. And finally he sent his little servant out, and he said, go out and tell me what you see. The servant goes out one time, and he can't see anything because he's spiritually blind. It's difficult to work with people that are spiritually blind when you have spiritual sight. But the Lord will help you with that as you go along. They just don't see it. I can't believe. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't see how it's going to happen. And you have to listen to that nonstop rhetoric of doubt and unbelief when you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that God has spoken to you, and God has given you the direction, and God has told you what to do, and God has told you what the result is going to be. So he sent the little servant out the second time. Came back and said, what do you see? He said, nothing. He said, go again. I'm getting a little tired of this. Oh, don't get tired. Just keep doing what I tell you to do. The third time, the fourth time, the fifth time, the sixth time, the seventh time. He came back. He said, what'd you see? He said, nothing. Well, there was a little something. He said, I saw a cloud like a man's hand. Ladies and gentlemen, don't really curse people around you, because I can tell you this, that those people around you are going to be the people that God uses to bless you. And some of them don't even have to be your friends. In fact, I think Pastor Brandon prophesied that some of the people that have been enemies in your past in 2018 are going to become your provider. God is going to use them, because the provision of God is in the hands of men. And I've had people bless me. I've had people bless me tremendously that had no intention of doing that. I think I've told you the story several times about the little lady that was in this church in the old building some 30 years ago. I was preaching, and we were needing to do something, and I preached that we needed to raise an offering. And she met me in my office afterwards, and she was in tears. And she said, Pastor, she said, I'm just brokenhearted. I said, why is that? She said, I know the church has a need, and I really don't have much ability to help you. She said, I gave my last $3 tonight And I know that's not really going to make a difference. I said, oh, yes, it is. I had a friend in Dallas that used to had a big church, and he became so arrogant that he told people that he was receiving nothing less than $5. He said, if you've got change, don't put it in the pulpit, in the plate. We don't want to have to count it. We don't even want to have to count dollars. Friend, if you've got a peso, we'd like to have it, please. I just don't understand that kind of arrogancy, because it's in violation of the principles of God. Jesus was excited not by the gift of the rich, but the 2 pence of the little widow. That excited Jesus. And so she tried to explain how that she couldn't help the church. She had put in her last $3. And I tried to explain to her that might have been the biggest gift of the day, because it was all she had. Jesus said the rich gave out of their much, but she gave out of her living. $3 she gave. And friend, she from that, she began to believe. And one of the things she wanted to do was get married. 6 months later, she had won a young man to Jesus Christ, and I performed the ceremony and married them. She traced it back to being obedient with $3. But friend, there's another part of that story, and that was that one day her aunt drove up to her house, got out of her car, knocked on her door, and said, you're my least favorite niece. I never have cared for you much. I like your sister a whole lot better. And she said, I'm pretty upset because something's making me do this, and I don't want to do this. And she said, what are you doing? And don't hold me to the amount. It's been 30 years. But it was something like $32,000 check. She said, I want you to have this because something's making me do that. She said she never did show me any affection. Sometimes money can be better than affection. It just depends on what your need is. And so when she brought me that check, it was, I think, $3,200. It was a long way from the $3 she had given several months before. But the point is this, that God's provision is in the hand of man. God's not going to show up and write you a check signed Jehovah Jireh, but he's got somebody. Did Jesus not say that I will cause men to give into your bosom? Somebody in this building right now, I just prophesy to this, before February comes, somebody's going to get a check from an unexpected source and an unexpected person. Because right now, the Lord is taking the scales off of your eyes, and he's helping you to see what other people do not see. We used to have a precious little lady that worked next door. We used to have a lot of vending machines in that building. And so one day she came to me, and she had just tons of quarters. I mean, just dozens and dozens, pretty good little sign of money. And she said, Pastor, she said, the Lord has just given me money. She was a janitor working in our church. She said, the Lord's just given me, everywhere I turn today, I'm finding this money. I didn't have the heart to tell her that one of the kids had broken into all the vending machines and hid that money around so he could come back and get it later. I just said, well, praise God for your blessing, sister. I just ain't much on raining on people's parade. I'm just not going to do it. You say, well, you should have told her the truth. No, because I believe that God works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. Hallelujah. I don't know how it's going to happen. I was preaching one time, and there was a little couple that had just come into our churches on a Wednesday night, and they went home, and she talked him into going to the airport and buying a ticket for her sister to come visit them. And when she stepped out of the car around 11 o'clock at the airport right here in San Antonio, she stepped out and just reached down, unbeknown to her, a paper sack, and just said, count it. Didn't even look into it. She had just been to Living Way, and her faith had got so high and her eyes had got so wide, she was seeing money where there was no money. She was seeing things where there were no things. Everybody else was just stepping over and saying it's trash. Hey friend, I'm going to tell you, when God opens your eyes, what other people are called trash is going to be your treasure. What other people choose to ignore, you're going to possess, and it's going to be a blessing for you all the days of her life. She went in and bought that little airplane ticket and came back, and sure enough, he was sitting there counting cash, probably drug money somebody brought. We'd have dropped. We don't have any idea where it came from. But all I know, it was $30,000 in cash, and nobody claimed it, praise God. And that little Hispanic couple, thank God, was able to furnish their home with brand new furniture and live the life of Riley for a while on $30,000. That was totally unexpected, because their faith began to see things that somebody else couldn't see. I want to tell you right now that the very provision of God in the hands of man. So make sure you don't cut anybody's hand off. Make sure you don't shove anybody's hand away, because you don't know who's going to be given into your bosom, because God's got weird ways of taking strange people and putting a blessing on you. One of the neighbors that was so opposed to this church, he gave us so much problem, but we kept being nice to him. His final gesture to this church was give us $16,000 when he was totally opposed to this church being on this property. God turned him around. Somebody that's totally opposed to you in 2017 might not get saved, but praise God, they're having a heart turnaround right now. For some reason, they're going to develop an affection for you. They're going to want to help you, and they're not even going to know why they're doing it. It's just that the hand of the Lord has said you're going to have to give into their bosom. And friend, let me tell you, when God makes up his mind to bless you, there's not a devil out of hell, there's not a human being that can stop the blessing of God from coming to your life. Somebody ought to jump up and say, I see it, I see it, I see it. It's going to happen to me in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The provision of God is in man's hands. Do you see what I see? This is a big one too. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with open face. I like that, with open face. That means with no sunglasses on. That means with no veil. That means clearly, without discussion, without conversation, without contradiction, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord. That's a confusing verse. No, it's not. The Holy Spirit is saying this through the Word of God. He said, when I look in the mirror of the Word of God with open face or with clarity, I see the glory of God. Not somebody else, but I see it in myself. Friend, you have not become the man or woman of faith that God wants you to be until you can see the glory of God in yourself. Do you ever get up in the morning and say, I'm shocked at who I am? I'm shocked at where I am. I'm shocked at how far I've come. I'm shocked that God could take a little old me and dig me out of a horrible pit and raise me up and bless me from Dan to Beersheba. Praise God. Bless me coming in and going out. Make me the head and not the tail. Friend, I want to tell you that my eyes are open to the glory of God in me. It doesn't matter what the skeptic says about me. I don't receive it. It doesn't matter what the critic says about me. I don't receive it, because I'm not proud in my flesh. But oh, praise God, when I look in the mirror of the Word of God and see the reflection of God's glory in me, it just makes me want to shout. It just makes me want to shout. It makes me want to praise God that I'm not what I used to be. And praise God, I'm going somewhere where I've never been, to be somebody I've never been before, to do things I've never done before, to possess what I've never possessed in my life. Friend, I can tell you right now, the glory of God is big in me, and I see it in me. And all I can do is say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I see God's glory in me. I see God's strength in me. I see God's victory in me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The Apostle Paul was amazed by what the glory of God had done in his life. Oh, wretch that I am. But he had to hasten to say, wretch that I am, I can do all things through Christ. He knew there was an amazing transformation in him. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you, there's not a weapon that's formed that can prosper against me. Why? Because I see the glory of God in me. There's not an enemy that can overcome me because I see the glory of God in me. I see what God has done. No wonder I'm a praise fanatic. No wonder I want to praise Him from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. Look what the Lord has done. Look where the Lord has brought me. Look at the promises that have been fulfilled in my life. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God, that I'm living in a weird world, but I've got the glory of God, and it's incarcerated inside of me. It lives inside of me. In a world that's sad, I'm filled with joy. In a world that's fearful, I'm filled with faith. In a world that has no hope, I'm pregnant with expectancy, praise God, because I see the glory of God in me. What God has done for me is amazing, but it does not appear yet what God's going to do for me. For what God is going to do in me is going to eclipse what God has done for me. My best days are yet ahead. My greatest accomplishments are yet before me, because God is doing great things in me. The Holy Ghost is in this house. The Holy Ghost is on our lives, and everybody won't do it, but there are some people in this building, praise God, that are getting 2020 spiritual vision, and like I and like Pastor Brandon, suddenly they can see what we see, that the best is yet to come, that the glory of God has just begun, that the outpouring has just started, and thank God, God is on His throne, and for some reason we have attracted the attention of Almighty God. And God said, roll back the roof and get ready, because I'm going to pour out upon you blessings that you are not able to contain. I see it. Can anybody else see it? Can you see what I see? Will you stand on your feet, lift your hands, and give God the glory and the praise? Hallelujah, hallelujah. I heard Creflo Dollar tell about starting the great church in Georgia. He said, the folks I started with, they just didn't have the vision. He said, we rented a little old building, kind of a cafeteria deal. And he said, it was pretty big. And we didn't have very many people. And he said, they would say, Pastor Creflo, we don't really need to clean this whole building out. Just one corner will suffice for the people that's going to show up. He said, no. Clean the whole room out and set up all the chairs. He said, I had him set up hundreds of chairs and dozens of people were coming every Sunday. And he said they were aggravated because they was having to do the work. No, just keep setting the chairs up. Just keep setting the chairs up. Because he said, I knew they were coming. That's the reason why they were servants. And that's the reason why he's Creflo Dollar. Because he can see what other people cannot see. I want to ask you, are you cutting corners because you don't believe it's going to happen? Do you just come once in a while because you don't believe it's going to happen? Do you just give once in a while because you really can't see what it's going to happen? I liked what that young lady said about systematic giving. Everything in your life, not just your tithe, everything needs to become systematic when it comes to the concern of God. Everything. Your praise needs to be systematic. Your attendance in the house of God needs to be systematic. Your prayer needs to be systematic. Your love needs to be systematic. Your witness needs to be systematic. Your prayer needs to be systematic. You say, well, I just don't have that motivation. You know why? Because you would be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Only Moses could see him who was invisible. And so he could look at Pharaoh's daughter and Pharaoh himself and say, I'm not afraid, because one of these days I'm going to be richer than Pharaoh. The wealth that I have will make him look like a pauper, because he could see him who was invisible. Can you see him who's invisible? Do you know the Lord's got his arm around you? Do you know the Lord's looking full into your face? Do you know the Lord is whispering in your ear? Do you know the Lord has gone before you to work problems out? Do you know the Lord is sustaining you? Do you know the Lord is conquering your enemy? Do you know the Lord is making a way straight? Do you know the Lord is preparing a way for you you through the wilderness. Do you know? Can you see that? Ladies and gentlemen, I can see that. And if you can see it, praise God, you can possess it in the name of Jesus. Lift both hands up right now and say, God, I want to be able to have that eyesight that is only spiritual and be able to see what you want me to see in Jesus' name. If there's somebody in this building right now and God has spoken to you and you've been a little hesitant about what your future is, but you heard the voice of God today and you say, God, I want to be able to see the wealth that you're creating for me, spiritual and otherwise. Lord, I want you to open my eyes today. I want you, Lord, to take the scales off of my eyes and let me not be afraid of the King. Let me not be afraid of the spirit of this world, but oh God, let me see. Let me see what my inheritance is in the name of Jesus. As Becky's singing, if God is speaking,